Welcome to the Old Tom Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you from Boise, Idaho. Well, they announced the Podcast Award nominees, and unfortunately, we were not nominated. I do want to thank everybody who went and put in a nomination for us at the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And it was great to actually have my political show make it last year. But I appreciate everybody's support, and I just enjoy doing the show so much. So thanks to everybody for their support. And I would add this, that while the Old Tom Dragnet Show was not nominated, in the category of PodSafe Music, the Soupy Gatto, which has left some very nice comments in the past, over at Podcast Alley, has been nominated. So go and support the Soupy Gatto in the Podcast Awards. You can vote once a day, every day, until November 6th. Before we get started, I do want to go ahead and we've got some comments here in the Netflix queue. Wahlberg says, fabulous. This is one of the few podcasts on old-time radio that is consistent. Adam is dedicated to forming a community of Dragnet lovers, and he has succeeded. Adam also has intelligent commentary. Well, thanks very much. We're doing the personality test, and I came up as conscientious. So that's kind of different in podcasting, because one thing that hinders, I think, a lot of podcasts is it's like, okay, our next show may whenever. Interesting comment first from Airhag says, IRHag, HAIG. Please don't spam me, because it would be rude to send unsolicited emails, and actually against the law in this state. $200 per occurrence, and I've got a lawyer who has nothing better to do. Okay, I'm not going to send you an email. They don't actually give me your email information, but no, I won't send anything. Other than that, a great show, although the sound levels are wildly erratic, and sometimes the episode audio is muddy and indistinct. If you're cutting down on the file size for economic reasons, know that it does make a difference, maybe a higher sample rate. I know nothing about podcasting at the time, so if that's silly, well, you know why. I don't think it's silly at all. When you'll notice variances in from one episode to another, that's because really there's a variance in episode quality. And I want to go through every episode of Dragnet. This episode, for example, we're very fortunate. This one is actually in stereo, so this is, you know, it's going to sound great, at least before I convert it. Then who knows? But generally, it's going to be pretty solid. But I get some episodes that are just, you know, that you cannot play over a loudspeaker. You play it over a normal speaker and you can't hear the sound. It's not so bad that I can't hear it if I put headphones on, but some of them I've got to put the headphones on to hear them. I do think the audio does get considerably better once you get to the Frank Smith years, so hopefully that will kind of work itself out. Tada5877 says, kudos to you, sir. As a kid, a radio station in San Francisco used to play old radio shows on Sunday evenings, and my father and I would drive back from a day of fishing, listening and enjoying our one-on-one time together. We'd pull up in front of the house and sit in the RV and finish hearing our story as the day drew to an end. Thank you for giving me back those wonderful memories. Well, thanks. I much appreciate it. And it is something remarkable in the way that Dragnet takes you back and that you're able to listen to and to enjoy it, even as something that's passed down from generation to generation. All right, before we get into today's episode, we do not have an official sponsor. However, I do have an affiliate program on my site for Netflix. And I got to tell you, the Netflix, with the economy kind of down a little bit, I think it's a great time to look at cutting back in some areas of entertainment. And Netflix has got is a pretty good way to replace some of the things you might have to cut back on. Netflix, you have unlimited DVD rentals for $8.99 a month. But not only that, they added in the streaming feature, and with the what's called the Roku player. I actually got that as a birthday present. You can buy one of those from Roku.com. You can actually watch the Netflix on your TV. This is nice, particularly when it comes to Dragnet, because while the first two seasons are available for you free online at Hulu.com, Netflix actually has all four seasons of Dragnet and all seven seasons of Adam 12 available for online streaming. And so you can sit there at your TV and you can watch Dragnet commercial-free on television. And it's a great deal. They've got a very solid library, and their library of instant watch films just keeps getting better and better. So it's so I encourage everybody who's not signed up with Netflix and who's looking at, we want to have some fun, but we're not going to be able to afford to spend a whole lot. Well, you can get $8.99 a month, one DVD at a time, unlimited through the course of the month, plus unlimited online streaming. And also, if you can afford it, I'm enjoying that Roku player so much. If you've got a wireless internet connection, you'll absolutely love it. That one, there's no affiliate link. That one, you sign up, you just order it at Roku.com. If you want to order Netflix, I encourage you to go to dragnetradio.blogspot.com. Sign up on my site. That way a little of that supports us as we continue to bring these episodes to you. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into today's episode, The Big Saint. And this is one of those episodes, like The Big Tomato, where I did not get, you know, the reason for the title coming in. I didn't get the title until the absolute end, what the reason for the title is. But we're kind of long on this first segment, longer than we've been in quite a while, actually. So I'm gonna save the rest of my commentary on the episode for after the show. So let's go ahead and get into The Big Saint.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to auto theft detail. A well-organized ring of car thieves begins operations in your city. It's one of the most puzzling cases you've ever encountered. Your job? Break it.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, May 11th. It was fair in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of auto theft detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Stilson. My name's Friday. It was 8:35 a.m. when I got to room 40, auto theft division. Captain's office.
Morning, Friday.
Morning.
Hi, Joe.
Ben.
You want to sit down?
Thank you.
I was just telling Romero here and briefing all the men in the bureau on this thing. That's the reason I called you two in.
Yeah.
I got some figures here I want to go over with you.
Uh-huh.
As you know, the percentage of all auto theft recoveries is 96% to 98% on the average. That's normally.
Yeah.
I'm checking the monthly averages. The past 4 months, that percentage has dropped to the low 80s.
Quite a drop.
Mm-hmm. Corner Pocket thinks so, too. They want some action on it.
Well, we've been working on it.
Absolutely no pattern to the thefts. Time, location, the method. Makes it impossible to stake out on it.
Yeah, those are some of the reasons our percentage is taking such a dive. I know the problems. We all do, but we got to break this thing soon.
Well, it figures we're dealing with a well-organized bunch. They know what they're doing.
And cross-checking all the reports, it seems to boil down to this in general. It appears that all the outstanding thefts are GM cars. cads, Pontiacs, Chevys, Oldsmobiles. All late models, all seem to be in good condition, low mileage cars.
Well, in addition to the regular broadcast and teletypes, we got out a special bulletin on this, didn't we?
That's right. All the thefts were listed, license, make, model, and color.
Mm-hmm.
Been sent to all major cities and border patrol stations. Nothing so far.
I was checking through the salvage reports. Salvage buys. Do you have the last 2 months' escape from March and April?
Yeah, right here. I noticed the same thing. The outfit down on San Pedro Street.
Yeah. Let me see. Oh, yeah. This is a composite on the reports for the last 2 months.
That's right.
This one here. Herman Salvage, 2716 West San Pedro. They seem to deal a little heavy on General Motors cars, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I've been watching the buys on this place for the past few weeks now. I wanted to make sure it wasn't a coincidence.
Well, looks like a good place to run down, anyway.
You two want to check it out?
All right, fine. 2716 West San Pedro.
That's it. Outfit appears to be okay. Never been out of line.
Seems funny they should deal with the top heavy in GM cars, doesn't it?
Right when our recovery percentage takes a dive, yeah.
Do you have the last salvage report there, Kevin?
Yeah.
The last bit.
Here you are.
Thank you. Yeah. Here's one for Herman's, 1949 Cadillac. A little further down, Herman's again, 47 Olds. Yeah. There's five GM buys on the list. Herman got four out of five of them.
Let's find out why.
From the time an automobile is first manufactured and sold, a constant and complete record is maintained on that automobile. His certificate of ownership, the pink slip in the state of California. His certificate of registration, the white slip. These two slips of paper contain the information necessary for the positive identification of your car. A fact that every motorist knows. Now, there are many agencies that work for the protection and security of your automobile. One of these is the National Auto Theft Bureau, a kind of nationwide clearinghouse. Acting upon information supplied by the various insurance companies and other allied agencies, this bureau forwards all facts and figures concerning the disposition of motor vehicles on a nationwide basis. Reports are made available to all law enforcement agencies. One of the pieces of information put out by the National Auto Theft Bureau is the salvage report, listing all sales and purchases of automobiles that, for one reason or another, may have been relegated to the junkyard or to the salvage company. A fact that many motorists may not know. 9:14 a.m., Ben and I checked through the police commission and found that the owner of Herman Salvage was a Herman Lester. He had been in business at the same location for 6 years and appeared to be a reputable businessman. We drove down to 2716 West San Pedro to check it out. It was an average-looking garage with a connecting salvage yard filled with several hundred smashed-up cars of all makes and models. It was 9:32 a.m. when we walked into the garage.
There's a fella there in a white shirt.
Yeah, I see him.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Police officers. Auto theft detail?
Oh, yes. I don't believe I know you fellas. My name's Lester.
This is Sergeant Friday. My name's Romero.
How you do?
How are you? Are you the owner here?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever happened to Mac and Donovan? Used to drop in once, twice a month. I haven't seen him for 2-3 weeks now.
Well, they're a little busy on a special assignment.
Oh, I see.
All right, if we look around here?
Oh, you bet. Make yourselves right at home. Anything special?
No, just looking.
Okay.
Notice you've been pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, had a pretty good month. Salvage racket's going to get sour again, looks like, with the Korean War and all the cutbacks.
Doesn't seem to have hit you so far.
Well, no, not so far. Looks like it may tighten up any time.
I noticed from our salvage report you've been doing a big business in GM merchandise.
Yeah, we have. You know, they're starting to build tanks back there now. We wanted to make sure we wouldn't run short on parts.
You get a lot of call for GM parts, do you?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. Everybody in town knows if they need something for a Caddy or a Buick or any of those cars, this is the place to come. We kind of built up a reputation specializing in GM used parts.
I see.
Mind if we check your last few buys?
Fine.
You have a 49 Cadillac, 47 old, Pontiac 48. 1949 Chevrolet. Wonder if we might see those.
Yes, sir. They're right out in the yard. They're back this way. All four of them are really bent up. Bad shape. Just breaks your heart to see beautiful merchandise like that all smashed up. I don't know what people are thinking of the way they drive.
Yeah.
And you take a new Caddy, one of those new convertibles. Really beautiful merchandise. Somebody takes one out, rolls it. We pick it up and tow it down here. Beautiful car like that all rolled up in a ball.
Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. Glad we picked up the rest.
Yeah, it was really strange. Well, here we go. There's your caddy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Olds and the Pontiac are in that row there. See him?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the Chevrolet, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. 1949.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There she is over there. Third car down. Maroon.
Yeah. Maroon one, yeah. Down there.
Yeah. Looks like a graveyard, doesn't it?
Sure does. What do you do with all these cars? Strip them down for parts?
Well, at least the four you're checking now, yeah. They're all total wrecks. Nothing much can be done with them except for parts.
Mm-hmm. How about that Cadillac down there, the sedan?
Huh?
That one over there, can't you fix that one up? That doesn't look beyond repair from here.
Oh, step around the other side here. You can't see from where you're standing. Here. The right side's all stove in. By the time you figure replacing those side panels and fenders, trim, we couldn't come out on it.
Yeah, I see now. Well, I don't know too much about it, but it'll look good from over there.
Yeah, that's what we get all the time. People want us to pay top prices for stuff we can't get our money out of. If we could repair them, fix them up, and resell them as a complete automobile, it'd be a lot of money in this business.
You do that with some of them, don't you?
Well, very few of them, I'll tell you. That's what we look for, but we don't always get lucky.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Say, how'd you boys like to see some really beautiful merchandise?
What's that?
Well, come on back in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what keeps us busy. Plates and pink slips on the way to Sacramento for cancellation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, over this way. Here we are. Take a look at this baby.
Yeah. Hot rod, huh?
No, not exactly. We don't go in for that kid stuff racing around town.
Well, sure, looks like one.
Yeah, but it's a little better than most of the kids can throw together.
What'll it do?
We clocked her up at Muroc at 112 last weekend. You know, they've been coming in here from all over town to see this car?
That's so.
Yeah. You ever get up to Muroc Dry Lake?
No, I never do, but that's the place for it. Running around town on those things can cause a lot of accidents.
Those drag races the kids have, yeah. We don't go in for that stuff. This is strictly scientific as far as I'm concerned. I like to build them up, see what we can make them do.
Cost a lot of money, don't they?
Got $5,400 in this one right now. I'm putting more into it. Mallory ignition, milled heads, twin Wakefields. Here, let me start it up for you.
Okay.
120 horses under there.
Sounds good.
Listen to that. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of power in here. There is. Gotta see it up at the lake. You really go. Yeah, I'll bet.
This all made up out of salvage cars?
Every bit of it. Buy a few things new, but most of it's right out of wrecks like those outside there.
Takes a lot of talent to build up something like this from scrap, doesn't it?
No, not really. After you've been at it as long as I have, it's not too tough. The trick is to get more speed out of them than anyone else can.
Yeah, you did a good job on this car, huh?
Well, if you put your mind to it, you can do a lot with a wrecked car.
Before we left Herman's salvage, we checked all four of the GM cars that were listed on the salvage report. We made a careful check on all of the cars in the yard and in the garage, paying special attention to the few cars that were in the process of being rebuilt by Herman Lester's mechanics. We went over his records, carefully checking the disposition of all of his buys for the past several months. Everything was in perfect order. We found that in the past 3 weeks, Lester had taken in 10 cars. 8 of them had been stripped down for parts, and 2 of them had been rebuilt and resold. The investigation showed that 4 of those cars were GM cars, and the 2 that were resold were both General Motors. 11:28 a.m. Ben and I drove back to the office and asked Mac and Donovan if they'd check through the 2 resale cars to make sure everything was in order, as the reports indicated. We checked through on the remaining 8 cars that were listed by Herman Lester as broken down for parts. According to DMV, all plates and pink slips had been returned to them for cancellation. 11:50 a.m.
Well, that's it, Joe.
Yeah.
8 of the cars checked out. 2 of those were GMs.
Yeah, well, that leaves just the 2 that Mac and Donovan are checking, huh?
I don't know. Everything down there looked all right. Succinct list wasn't holding back anything, as far as I could tell. It's cooperative, everything in order.
If those two that Mac and Donovan are working on check out.
I got a hunch they will. Seems to me Lester told us everything. Everything we asked him, anyway. I don't think he held back.
If he did, I got an idea you might be able to tell us somebody's been left out in the cold here.
What are you getting at?
Well, now, Furman's been able to buy up all those GM cars. What have the other salvage dealers been doing about it?
That's a thought.
Let's check his competition. 12:40 p.m. We drove back down to West San Pedro Street. We picked out a group of salvage companies in the immediate neighborhood close to Herman's. 3209 West San Pedro, John's Wrecking Yard. We introduced ourselves and started to talk with the owner, a John Bacon. A routine check was made of his establishment, and as far as we could tell, everything appeared to be okay.
And that's all you made, huh? Just that one buy?
That's it. 1946 Ford. We're dying a slow death.
Business is pretty bad, huh?
Never seen it worse. At least as far as we're concerned.
How do you account for that, Mr. Bacon?
Oh, everything, I guess. Business bad all over at the moment. Scrap metal situation's in a state of flux at the present time.
And looking around, Mr. Bacon, we noticed you don't have much in the way of General Motors stuff. Is that because of GM going into war production? Any cutback would eventually affect you fellas, wouldn't it?
No, not at all. Cutback would, sure, but there's no tremendous curtailment right at the present time. They're still turning out a lot of automobiles back there.
Well, then what's your problem?
We're being outbid, right up and down the line by the same outfit.
Who's that, sir?
A company by the name of Herman Salvage, just up the street there. Go out to buy a piece of merchandise, their boys just won't let us get near it.
They pay more than you do, huh?
More than we can, Sergeant. I honestly don't see how they're coming out on some of their deals.
It's that much out of line, huh?
Certainly is. You know, whenever there's anything available, all the salvage companies get their bid in. Well, Herman simply outbids all of us.
Yeah, it makes it kind of rough.
I'm not the only one. Pete Larkin up the street, old man Henry next door, all of us. I don't know what we can do about it. Herman seems to be doing all right, no matter what he pays for his cars.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can figure it out. Just judging from the number of cars he outbids us on and the number he rebuilds, I just can't see how he's coming out.
But he is, huh?
Figure he's laying odds on a big shortage. That's what all of us think.
He's laying in a stockpile. Is that the idea?
Sure. What else could it be?
We continued our check on all salvage dealers, both in the neighborhood of Herman Lester's place and throughout the city. It seemed to be a fact well known to most dealers that Herman was outbidding all of them on any and all GM automobiles. The only possible explanation was that he must be trying to lay in a large stockpile of this particular make of car. 3:35 p.m. We received word from Sergeants Mack and Donovan that they had checked out the two remaining cars listed in Herman's books, the resales. Ben was right. They checked out with no discrepancy. During the next 10 days, the investigation continued. The theft of late model GM cars continued with few recoveries. Suspects were arrested and questioned. We could find no connection that might lead us to an organized ring of car thieves that might be responsible for the lack of GM car recoveries. The salvage reports showed no change in Herman's buying technique. Apparently, he was still dealing heavy on the one particular make of car. Thursday, May 25th. We received a teletype from DMV listing all the salvage buy transfers. In making our usual daily check of this teletype, we noticed a 1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-77415. It had been resold from salvage to a used car lot.
That's the place right up the block.
Yeah, I see.
Same cad we saw in Herman Salvage Yard.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The one in particular that I asked him about, you remember?
Yeah, I remember. You thought it could be fixed up. He said no.
It's only been a little over 2 weeks ago, hasn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, still doesn't prove anything.
Here we are. Jake's. This is the place.
Yeah, there's a cab in the front line right down there. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone around, do you?
No, I don't. Well, I guess it's hard to check the engine number anyway.
Yeah, I'll get the hood released.
Right. Engine's had a good steam cleaning. Let's see. 598-77415.
That's it. Herman sure did a nice job on it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Almost looks too good, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a minute.
Yeah.
Body serial doesn't match. Doesn't correspond with the engine model.
It's a 49 body. Could be a late 49, but it's a definite switch, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. That's funny.
Yeah. Look at this right side here. This was the bad side, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It looked like it's been rolled out to you?
No, there's no feathering, no orange peel. Either that's the best repaint job I've ever seen, or it's never been in an accident.
Yeah. I'll take a look underneath.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Want to move your feet there?
Yeah, all right. Anything?
No, nothing. There's not a seam or a joint under there. No welding marks of any kind. This car's never been in a smash-up.
The engine number checks. The body doesn't.
And this is the one Herman couldn't fix up.
Yeah, that's what he said. Maybe he changed his mind.
Or he lied.
You are listening to Dragnet. From beginning to end, Dragnet is the authentic story of your police force in action.
...1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-77415. In checking out this automobile, Ben and I had found that the engine number corresponded with the salvage report concerning Herman Lester's place. The one big item that did not jibe was the fact that the engine was now mounted in a different body than when the car left the factory. A fact that had to be accounted for in complete detail. When we had checked this automobile on the 11th of May at Herman's salvage yard, both engine and body numbers corresponded. In taking a close look at the car, it was obvious that the body had not been repaired in any way. It was clear that this particular car had not been in any kind of collision. We went back to the rear of the lot and asked one of the salesmen not to sell the car without informing us. When we got back to the office, we started rechecking all of the auto theft reports. We found 5 stolen Cadillacs, but all the body styles and models were different, with the exception of one, a 1949 Cadillac sedan, reported stolen on May 14th. It was registered in the name of William Brownell. We checked his home and found that he was at work. He was a superintendent for the North American Van Lines. We drove over and picked him up and took him to Jake Hughes' car lot on Vermont Avenue.
This is the car, Mr. Brownell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like mine, but I don't think it's the one.
Are you sure?
For one thing, it's a different color. My car was maroon.
You want to step over here, Mr. Brownell?
Sure.
Well, if you look very closely here on the door edging and on the jamb, right here, see? This is the one place sometimes they miss with a spray gun if they're going to repaint.
Oh, yeah, there's a faint trace of red under the blue paint there.
Looks like it could be maroon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does it there.
This car's been repainted. It was maroon.
Uh-huh. Well, mine didn't have these kind of seat covers. Let's see. Same kind of upholstery I had, though, underneath there. I don't know.
Mr. Brownell, there must be something other than the color in the upholstery that you'd know your own car by.
Never gave it much thought.
Well, there's usually some little identifying mark of some kind. I know that on my car, the lens on the right headlight got broken, and I had to replace it with one that didn't match.
Something like that, sir? I see. Could I look inside there a minute?
Sure.
Right here under the speedometer, there was a thumbprint pressed in at the factory. It's pretty deep. No, it's not there now.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that the car's been repainted. It might have been covered up.
No, this was clear down to the metal. Apparently, when they were installing the instruments at the factory, the panel wasn't dry yet. Not there now. They couldn't have covered it up unless they made a special point of it.
Well, sometimes that's done. Car thieves are kind of clever.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I don't think this is my car. Don't think I don't wish it was, but it's not.
Can you think of just one other thing, maybe? Just one mark of identification is all we need.
No. Even these tires aren't mine. I had white sidewalls.
It could have been switched.
They were pretty new. Wait a minute. I think I remember something. No, there's no rip up there.
What's that, sir?
I just thought of something. The boys down at the office gave me a St. Christopher medal.
You know the large metal kind you're supposed to bolt to your dashboard?
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to put it on, so I carried it around with me in the car. There was a rip up there in the inner lining of the top, but you see, there's no rip in this.
Let me see. How about it, Pat?
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it.
Does it feel like a metal?
Get my pocket knife on it.
Okay.
What do you think, to replace the cloth with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Is this it, Mr. Brownell?
That's it. Look, on the back there, my name's engraved on it, see?
Yes, sir.
Well, I sure didn't think this was my car. I never would have known it.
That's what the guys figured who stole it. The 1949 Cadillac was taken to the police garage and a complete and thorough check was made. The car, with the exception of the engine, was positively identified as the property of William Brownell. This definitely implicated Herman Lester and showed his salvage operations to be illegitimate. He had obviously been buying one particular make of salvage automobile, outbidding all his competitors to do so. When he would buy a piece of wrecked equipment, an exact duplicate would be stolen to match it. He would then dispose of the engine from the stolen vehicle and replace it with a salvage engine. With this system of operation, Herman Salvage had been enjoying a lucrative business, which accounted for a great percentage of the stolen cars that we hadn't been able to recover. 7:25 p.m., May 25th. We drove out to pick up Herman Lester. His home address was listed as 8625 Wonderland Drive. It was up in the Laurel Canyon District, a heavily wooded section of Los Angeles.
Pretty nice place up in there.
Yeah,
but you can see of it through the trees.
Well, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, Joe.
Yeah.
Looks like the 50 O's. Everything there but the engine. No plates.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that from the street, did you?
Never could have seen it from down there.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a garage back up in there, doesn't it?
Perfect spot. Can't see any of this from the street with all those trees. Pretty fancy layout for a home garage. Good size.
Yeah. Somebody's working up in here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hi there. Brings you fellas right here.
Want to have a little talk with you.
Oh, you bet. Come on in the house. Have a cold beer, huh?
No, this'll be all right.
Joe, you got a hot seat?
Yeah. Right here.
Kind of caught me by surprise here, working out in the garage.
Yeah, that figures, Lester. These plates are from a stolen car.
You sure?
That's right.
You remember a 49 Cadillac we looked at down at your place a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, not sure. 49 Cad?
That's right. Whatever became of that car?
Oh, now I remember. Yeah, I sold that car to Jake's over in Vermont.
Thought you told us you couldn't fix it up.
Well, I don't remember. You sure you don't mean some other car now?
No, it's the same one. You know the one we mean. How about it?
How about what?
That was a stolen car, Lester, and you know it. That's a stolen car out there in the yard, isn't it?
Watch that hoist, Ben! There he goes, Joe! All right, Lester, hold it! Stop it, Joe! All right, come on, stop it, Lester! Drop that hammer!
All right. Like it? I'll get the cuffs, Joe.
Come on, get up on your feet.
All right, come on.
On your feet.
Stand still. Rough one, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, Lester. Let's go.
How'd you find out? Who tipped you off?
Say, Christopher.
The story you've just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On August 15th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 82, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. Herman W. Lester was tried and convicted on 3 counts of grand theft auto and 2 counts of grand theft money, all sentences to run consecutively. Grand theft auto is punishable by imprisonment for a term of 1 to 5 years, grand theft money by a term of 1 to 10 years. The suspect was also filed on by federal authorities for violation of the Dyer Act. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles. Stay tuned for Counter Spy, next over many NBC stations.
welcome back. The interesting thing about this is what you hear with and see with the Dragnet is it's not that the police department, particularly in a city like Los Angeles, are in kind of this separate world with a separate language and code and lingo. It's actually each different department within the police department is a little bit different. Sometimes we think, well, they're a police officer. But this shows you a lot of highly specialized stuff. They take some time to kind of unwrap this so you can understand their world. And that's what Dragnet does. It takes you into this world, and you learn something from watching. It's fascinating how they were able to crack this one. And with that Saint Christopher's medal, thus the big saint. I do have to say, plus again, you get the realism there of the garage. I mean, that's the thing. When the sound is, when the sound is off, it can make things a little difficult. But when that sound is good, you really get the full flavor of what Jack Webb was going for here. All right, well, that's it for this episode of the Old Time Dragnet Show. We will be back next week with another episode. I do want to thank everybody so much for listening. For now, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.